Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey, this is John Keevil from Warbringer, and you are listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a horrifying episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 475, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Molly Hatchet.
And I'm Aaron, and I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Right on. I like that. That's definitely appreciated. How's everyone doing tonight?
Pip, pip, cheerio.
In the heat of the moment.
That's a good song.
It is.
Snowy, I know you're doing good because you're making up words tonight. Warifying?
A warifying, yes.
What? Whoa,
This is a warifying episode in honor of tonight's creature feature and a little mix of warifying and terrifying. And it's just...
electrifying?
There we go.
Electric eye.
There's all sorts of affying, you know, that this applies to. So, yes, tonight is definitely a snowyism, shall we say. I'm making up my own words as we go along, and I love to do that. So,
obviously.
So right on. Before we get rocking and rolling and strutting and strolling and styling and profiling, first and foremost, I want to say happy birthday to Corrine. You were not available last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really mean it?
I figured we'd better retain that little bit of information and throw it out to you.
Happy birthday to me.
For sure. So, with you turning 1 year older now, that officially makes me the youngest member of this team now. It's official with you, with your birthday.
I have to agree with you. And don't let the other podcasters on our program tell you otherwise, because you're big, beautiful, and you don't need a man to tell you what to do.
There we go.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And one more thing, since we're all here, okay, all present and accounted for, all 100% of us, I don't know if you guys have thought of this or not, but next week, next episode, this show turns 11 years. It's our anniversary next week.
It's the big one.
Yeah.
It's the big one.
11.
Yeah. So everyone keep that in mind. I don't really know what we're going to do for it next week. I'm sure every episode kicks ass, but I'm sure we'll come up with something. And it's definitely going to be a good time. But to get there, let's keep the good time rolling with our metal fix.
We wander the streets living intense metal lives. find out what we did in the Metal Fix.
Okay, who's got what to tell us?
I do. Can I raise my hand? I do.
Please.
Is it metal? Okay.
Yes,
it is.
You
the face.
It is. Okay, so for my extravagant birthday, I took a trip to Atlantic City last week.
Okay.
Now, yeah. This has everything to do with metal. I promise you, I won't go on about winning $2,500 or anything like that. But let me just tell you, it was a great birthday. So anyways, I'm sitting down, and I'm just enjoying myself, having a grand old time. And I look over, and I see this guy. What? Right? You know, you see a bunch of people. But I saw this guy. And this guy stuck out because he was wearing a Lamb of God shirt.
There we go. Rock and roll. And
he was like your age. You know, Snowy, not rock, but Snowy.
Maybe
youngest, okay, the youngest member of this whole podcast team here.
So he was about 24, I guess.
Yeah. Add 20 years to it. So I look over and I was like, holy fucking shit! Somebody is wearing a Lamb of God shirt here in Atlantic City with a bunch of old assholes. And I'm like thinking to myself, I should approach this guy. But I was so drunk that I just kind of left. And I just did my own thing. Yeah. No, it gets better. It gets better. I promise you. It gets better. So I was drunk and I left. And I couldn't remember what I was doing at the time. But I kept thinking about the guy wearing that Lamb of God shirt. And I was like, God damn it. I really should have went up to him. And so
You shouldn't have.
Yes, I have. So listen to this. So I walked around the casino. I was just doing my thing. And then I finally saw him walking towards the elevator. My drunk ass ran after him. Getting in the elevator. I was like, hey, you. And he didn't turn around. And I'm like, hey, the guy with the Lamb of God shirt. And he still didn't turn around. So before the door closed, I got to him and I tapped him on the shoulder because he still had his back turned. I was like, hey, you, the guy with the Lamb of God shirt. He goes, huh? I was like, Chris Adler is my favorite drummer. He goes, oh, he's the best drummer ever in this whole universe. I was like, hell yeah. And I threw him the horns and then the elevator door. I'm not kidding you. This is really how it happened. The door's closed. And I was just standing there with people looking at me like I was fucking crazy. But I was having the best time of my life.
I ran into
another metalhead who was just as admirable for Chris Adler as I am.
See, metalheads can do that. I've often said, like, we are definitely a unique breed. Like, we see, you know, other metalheads out in public. You know, I've got like a Napalm Death shirt on. Some other guy, he's got like a Carcass shirt on. I don't even know the guy. We're buds. I can walk up to that guy and just start talking to him and all that. Like, that's no problem. Would you have been able to do that sober, though?
Oh, yeah, she would.
Yeah? Okay, that's good. What about you two? Like, can you just walk up to another metalhead and just, hey, dude, and just introduce yourself and start talking?
All the time.
Yeah?
What about you? A hot chick talking about it, you know, they're all...
Oh, that's even easier, yeah.
I'm more of the type, if I see somebody's shirt, I'll say, hey, man, cool shirt. And then you'll go, oh, yeah, thanks. And then that's it. You know, that's all.
Okay, well.
I don't know if this guy's trying to get somewhere or if he's busy or if he doesn't want to talk to anybody. I don't know.
It's at the casino.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah. And if it's at a show or a concert or whatever.
That's different.
Or in a record store or something.
Well, that's different.
Then, yeah.
I'm just talking if I happen to be walking outside and, you know, I'm at the grocery store and I see somebody else with a Lamb of God. Hey, man, cool shirt. All right, thanks. And that's it. You know, I'm not going to bother him. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not saying, you know, you're not his biographer. Like, you don't want to get into his, you know, his life and all that. But no, okay. Cool. Right on. What else you got?
Oh, and that would be it. I downloaded, I know you guys are going to make fun of me. I know this is something you guys are going to make fun of me for, but there is a hard rock song that I've really fallen in love with.
Okay.
And it's, I get the title mixed up, so come back to me.
Justin Bieber is not hard rock.
No, it's not Justin Bieber. I get confused with the band Once Human, but it's not Once Human.
Okay.
It's Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Mbop. Okay. Hard by Hanson. Wet.
Yeah. I don't even know she. I don't think she would even know that song, Aaron. She's too young.
Yeah, I know that song.
You know. All right. Okay. Well, my medal.
Yeah. Please, yes, Rock.
My medal fix. I believe I talked to you guys about this offline last week. I was telling you how I pre-ordered the new Black Dahlia Murder CD from Best Buy, and after I ordered it, it said that it was going to be shipped on the release date. You know, so I was like, "Oh man, that really sucks." I want to get it on release day. If I had known, I would have just waited and, you know, went and got it at the store the day it came out. Well, earlier in the week, I got an email from Best Buy saying, "Hey, your item shipped." I was like, "Oh, cool." So I go and check the tracking. It said, "You're going to get it on Saturday," and which the release day is always on Fridays now. So I was like, "Oh, well, at least a day late. That's not bad. That's not bad." Well, I got home yesterday on the release date, and the CD was in my mailbox.
That's awesome.
Score. So I even tweeted at Best Buy, and I said, "Kudos to you, Best Buy, for making sure that my Black Dahlia Murder CD was in my hands on the release day. Thank you." So there's that. So, but yeah, we got an advanced promo a few weeks ago, and I had already listened to it. I just wanted the physical copy because I, you know, even though we get a lot of digital promos, you know, to check out, when there's something good and awesome out there, I go out and buy it. So that's what I did. And the packaging is interesting on this one. It's a digipack, you know. So for those who don't know, a digipack is those cardboard sleeves that you get instead of being the jewel case. And basically it opens up in four, and it's like a cross, like a, you know, like the Red Cross.
Right.
Opens up like that. The CD's in the middle, and it opens up in four like that. And you got all the words, and there's no booklet in it. All the words and lyrics and thank yous and all that are all on all the panels. As you open them up, you see all the stuff on there. It's pretty cool. It's a good it's a nice concept. So,
right on.
Yeah. So I'm a nerd for packaging and stuff like that and graphic design. So I wanted to bring that up. And the other thing is I saw a couple days ago that Darkest Hour have released a new song for in honor of the new hockey season, and those guys are big fans of the Washington Capitals, and so they put out a new song called "Unleash the Fury." So really cool. It's a cool. It's like a minute 50. It's not very long, but they've done that in the past in past seasons, and actually the Capitals have used some of their music at the arena and on some commercials on local commercials on TV, apparently in DC. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I think we're gonna play it at some point today. It's a cool little track, you know, and it's Darkest Hour, you know, so it's good shit.
Yeah, I know they're big hockey marks when you said that, you know, at first I was thinking, well, this song has got some age to it, but no, this is a new song, you were saying.
Yeah, I think this is like the third one they've done. They've done a few. And then I remember back in the day, Pantera did one for the Dallas Stars. I don't know if
you
remember.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I remember talking with Vinny about hockey when he was in Winnipeg.
Yep.
Big hockey fan.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know what, Rock? I'm glad you brought the whole Darkest Hour Washington Capitals thing, because I got the Montreal Washington game on the Idiot Box right now in the background as we speak.
Cool.
Sorry, it's like 6-1 for the Capitals, though. Your Habs just haven't shown. Yeah, they just haven't shown up tonight.
What period is it?
The third now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's not looking good, but we'll boost your spirit by dropping that track soon.
Oh yeah,
for cool. Sure. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. What else you got?
That's it. That's all I have. It's been a not so busy week at work this week, and you know, I was catching up on podcasts, but I listened to a lot of non-music related podcasts, so that's what I was trying to catch up on, you know. So yeah, nothing else really to report, sir.
Oh, Oh, I like that.
I did the salute when I said
when I'm in Safeway or something, and the young lady behind the counter goes, "Have a nice day, sir," and all that. That's fine, okay. But I kind of get wigged out when I'm in a record store or a skate shop, and someone calls me sir. Then, and I'm like, "Whoa, no." Here, my name is Dude. Thank you.
Well, it's all that gray you have, you know, on your hair.
I have no. The only gray that I get is in my beard now. Like if I grow my facial hair out. Mm-hmm. So Mrs. White is loving it now because I don't get lazy about shaving anymore because I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that shit on me.
No gray shit.
Not for a long time yet. Yeah, not for a long time yet. Aaron, what you got?
So. Rock sent out to the group earlier this week, the Dean Del Rey podcast, which I'd never heard of. Okay. And so I've been checking that out. I started with the Kenny Aronoff episode, which was fantastic.
That was good, wasn't
all
it?
About, oh man, dude, that guy, geez. And what a serious musician. It's, I love the blend of the rock and roll, but with that strong classical background, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
I'm just like, shit, I couldn't, like, he studied with Leonard Bernstein. Leonard frickin' Bernstein, man. So then that, and then currently I'm working through the Brian Slagle episode.
Oh yeah, that was a good one too.
Oh fuck, man, this is just great stuff. Mm-hmm. The stories those guys are swapping back and forth, and just, you know, like, I can't tell. Dean Del Rey sounds like he's stoned all the time.
Yes.
And I'm so glad you told me that the first 15 minutes or so were just crap, because I fast forward through that now, because like, I put it on after 2 minutes. If you hadn't told me it was a good podcast to listen to, I would have deleted it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I can't listen to an hour and a half of this. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then I fast forward the interview, and the interviews are fucking awesome. Like, dude, the one he did with Dave Catching of Eagles of Death Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. That was fantastic. Yeah.
Well, the thing is with Dean Del Rey, his interviews and the podcast called Let There Be Talk. He's very it's just conversations, you know, and and obviously he knows his shit about he was a musician himself for 25 years, you know.
Well, that's what I've been trying to find a bio on him somewhere, and I really can't find much.
And I can't,
there's not a lot on him.
I can't remember the band name. It's a band name you've heard of.
Hanson.
No. But it's maybe in that. It was in the 90s and stuff, but it's a band that's known. No, would you stop? He's a rock and roller. He's got a great voice. He can do Bon Scott.
Backstreet Boys.
He can sing like Bon Scott. Like, he's in a AC/DC tribute band.
Well, I think he was talking about the Eagles of Death Metal, and him and Dave were talking about they were playing out of Joshua Tree, and he actually got up and did some AC/DC with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a stand-up comedian now. And he's done a lot of drugs over his life, so that's probably why he sounds stoned all the time. But yeah, he's not shy about talking about that stuff. And I don't listen to every episode of his, because sometimes he'll just have like a guy who makes stuff for motorcycles, because he's a big Harley guy. So, you know, so some episodes are like, I'm not interested, so I'll delete them. But man, most of them, when he talks about music, it's great stuff.
I went through the back catalog, and everything with an artist that I recognized or was interested in, I downloaded.
Oh, cool.
Like, yeah, I've got like a bunch of episodes to go through. The I tell you what, man, the one with Dave Catching with the Eagles of Death Metal, just talking about the whole flipping desert scene out there, and, you know, the generator parties and how the ranch that he has the studio at came to be. But then what really struck me is I had no idea that there was a documentary made about the Eagles of Death Metal and the concert that was bombed, you know, the terrorist attack in Paris, you know. And Dave was talking about that, and he's like, I was ready to stop playing. Like, he's like, I was done live performance. And then he talks about how U2 called him up, said, hey, we want to put on a show with you guys. And U2 basically brought them out and said, we're going to let these guys finish the show they were supposed to do.
Dang.
And it's just fucking classy as hell, man. I'm like, jeez. That was just an amazing, amazing story. So I've been having a great time with that.
Cool.
Sounds like it.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
By the way, I found the song that I was going to mention and I forgot, but I found it.
Oh, okay. What's that?
And the band's called Highly Suspect, and the song is called My Name is Human.
I find this highly suspect.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I don't. That doesn't ring a bell at
all.
Not
one bit.
I love it. I freaking love it.
Okay, but just for you, dear, as soon as we're done, I'm going to look up Highly Suspect to check it out.
Yeah, you should. How, you know what? It's sound? Yeah, it's good. I like it a lot. Like, I really enjoy it, that song.
Right on.
Cool.
Right on, right on. You know what? I really want to hear this this Darkest Hour track, Rock, so I'm going to tear through my metal fix here. But do kind of a quick call back to last episode, Rock, when you were talking about the tarot comic book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go and check that out for its Spinal Tap references and all that. And the following day after we were done that conversation, we Mrs. White and I, we made our way to the comic shop. Mm-hmm. They were sold out of that particular issue, so I put a back order on it. So like I put a special order in on it. And anyone who wants to know what we're talking about, go back to the last episode and give it a listen. It was a really good conversation. So I'm just kind of putzing around inside the comic book shop, hanging out with, like, there is myself, Mrs. White, and like a room full of virgins, okay, because it's a comic shop. And
oh,
you're an ass. You're an ass.
I was just thinking, I'm like, wow, so your daughter was artificial insemination. That's amazing.
Well, that's why I specifically separated us. Anyways, I'm kind of looking around, and you remember when we were kids and all that, you saw the Star Wars figures or whatever, the wrestling figures or whatever it is that you were really into, right? Mm-hmm. And the new ones, the one that you were looking for is out, and it's just in front of Christmas or whatever, and you're all excited, and you just kind of sit there and kind of look at it like, I'm sure, you know, all kids have done that. I found myself doing that in the comic shop because, you know, those Funko Pop dolls or Pop Rock dolls.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You mean like the vinyl dolls, those?
Oh, yeah, those things, yeah.
Okay, well, I finally found my Lemmy.
Funko Pop.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's sitting on my stereo right there, right beside my Joey Ramone Funko Pop doll.
That's awesome.
And all that, yeah. Yeah, so it's just, yeah, I wasn't expecting to ever find it. I've been looking for it forever. We finally found it. You know, every time Mrs. White was in a geek shop, one way or another, she was always looking for it. Finally found it. Finally found it, yeah.
Good for you.
Couple cool records that came across my desk, but as we speak, they hit the shelves yesterday as well. The new Hemorrhage, We Are the Gore. I was cranking that. That's a great fucking record. Oh, geez. I don't know, man. Relapse Records is fucking killing it this year. Like, when it comes time for our Rammy Awards, it's going to be, okay, I got to narrow it down from all these Relapse Records. Everyone check out the new Hemorrhage as well that came out yesterday. The new Primitive Man, Caustic, came out as well, and that came across my desk, and I was cranking that. That's the type of, like, we've had Primitive Man on the show. We've played their stuff before, and it's that insanely what do you call it, Aaron? The slower than a glacier.
Oh, half, you know, the pace of a glacier.
A glacier. There we are. It's that brutal doom death that's half the pace of a glacier. And all that. And it's the type of listen, though. Like, this band is phenomenal live. Okay, they were just in town a little while ago supporting Goat Whore. And I'm really thinking I kind of dropped the ball by not, you know, chatting with them again, you know, for this record and all that, because it's a fantastic album. But it's not the type of record that where you're going to, you know, get together with your buddies and a case of beer and have a good time rocking and rolling to this record. No, you got to listen to it the same way I did, just on a quiet, you know, afternoon. You're not really doing anything, and you just sit and you listen to it, and it's definitely an experience. Primitive Man, Caustic. You're gonna want to check that out. Before we drop that track, though, there is something that I wanted to talk about dealing with Relapse Records. They have a new sampler out, relapsesampler.bandcamp.com. Go check it out. It's a track from all the latest releases so far this year. A lot of really good stuff. You know, all the great bands on the label. They're given away for free, but if you choose to pay money for it, okay, all of that money goes into what is known as Rock to the Future. And what that is it's a nonprofit charitable organization in Philadelphia. All that money goes to music education for, you know, underprivileged kids and all that, because it's rock and roll, and everyone should be able to take their shot at it. So yeah, go check out that sampler. Donate what you can, and let's hear someday the new Darkest Hour. But right now, Rock, let's hear today's Darkest Hour.
Yeah, so here we go. This is the track that Darkest Hour has put out in honor of the Washington Capitals' new NHL season. Here is Unleash the Fury.
Fury!
check that out. That is Hemorrhages, and we are the gore, gore, gore. You might get that wrong. I don't know.
Through my darkest hour.
Last week, we had a rather interesting creature feature when we spoke to Michael Stan from Dark Tranquility. Go back and listen to the trials and tribulations and all the hoops that we had to go through in order to get that interview for all you beautiful motherfuckers. What made that interview so unique was the atmosphere surrounding it. That atmosphere was the Support Act Warbringer out there on the other side of that paper-thin dressing room wall doing their stuff, wowing the crowd because Warbringer are an absolutely amazing band.
And they are. They really are.
They are. Oh, my God, yeah. Before they hit the stage, though, I had the good fortune of hanging out kind of in the back area and all that with vocalist John Kevel.
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, man, for sure. I had a most interesting and educational interview, shall we say, as well. For a man of his young years, he's definitely he's wise beyond those.
He's intelligent.
He absolutely is. Oh my God, yeah. And that will definitely show through in tonight's creature feature and in the kick-ass music from their new record, Woe to the Vanquished. And the first single off of that is Remain Violent. So we're going to get onto that track right before our chat with Warbringer vocalist John Kevel.
Thank you. first and foremost, new record, Woe to the Vanquished, just the end of March?
Yeah, March 31st.
It hasn't been out that long. Have you gotten an initial response from it so far?
Yeah, it's been a great response, really. We're really proud of this record, and we're happy to see people are enjoying it as much as they are. I think it really represents the band kind of coming into its own and becoming, putting out just the thrash record that I always dreamed of putting out, kind of. I'm really happy with it, and I think it represents a cool hybrid of not only our influences within thrash metal, but in just metal in general, and represents a, kind of like a fusing of those things to make something that I think is its own pretty goddamn unique brand.
Right on. This is your debut record for Napalm.
Yes.
I believe, though. Is there a rhyme and reason as for the switch?
People ask about this all the time, and I think they wish there was more of a story. Unfortunately, it's as simple as this. We had a 4-album deal with Century Media, and after Empire's collapse, the band actually did collapse for a while, and we didn't have a lineup. And it was the time to either renew or not renew our record deal. I chose not to renew it because I didn't have a band and wasn't sure if I was going to. So it's basically Warbringer ceased to exist for a while, and we had to like start from ground zero again. And we had an offer from Napalm, and we went with it. We put out Woe to the Vanquished, and here we are.
Right on. Because Napalm is an awesome label. They're good friends of ours as well. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, we've enjoyed it so far, and no complaints. Yeah,
for sure. So they approached you. I don't want to use the word bidding war with other labels, but like, was there interest in some?
We weren't in a great position actually at the end of Empires. Some people passed on us and thought we weren't worth taking a risk on because we had a lot of instability, but I guess but we came back and we made a sweet record, better than we've ever been, live and on record, I feel. And so I'm just going to try to take it back up to where it was and then past it if I can. That's more or less all I have to do. It was a major setback losing half the band and disappearing for like 3 years after having worked so hard for so many years. We toured 250, 300 days a year, so it's definitely a tough bullet to swallow. But I still, the fact is people enjoy the shows so much, enjoy the record so much, and I feel just to myself like, well, what could I be doing in life that's going to be a better use of myself than this, you know?
Right.
It's the way I can kind of give the most with that I can think of right now, and that's why I enjoy it the most, I guess, and why I have to sort of stay the course no matter what the hell happens. But I've learned a lot along the way, and everyone in the band has as well, and just how to write and perform extreme goddamn fucking thrash metal to the highest possible standard. And we want to take the goal is, at least within our own minds, to take all of our influence, all the best vicious fast metal ever written, and to try to surpass it, and try to play faster, crazier, with songwriting intact, and put our own brand of it, and make it like more technical and incorporate a bunch of things. And I'm trying, especially this last couple records, also to go a really like much more serious, thoughtful, lyrical direction, but at the same time I write about a bunch of like macrocosmic themes, but then I've also been using a lot of first person to try to like bring that stuff in to where anybody could kind of hear it and get into it. So there's been like so much thought in the craft of what we're trying to do here, because it's just, that's always been our mission, and from day one we've been learning at it.
Right on. That's you kind of already answered my next question. I was going to bring up the fact that it was 4 years in between records, and that's certainly nothing that a band wants to have to go through. But
no,
it looks like you're definitely on the rebound for sure, though.
Well, I mean, if you continue to make quality records, or especially if the band manages to improve, which we're playing the best set we've ever done. I'm utterly sure that I'm singing better than I ever have before. The mindset in the band is very like serious and about what we're doing at the moment, and we intend to keep it that way. We want to play the absolute most intense show, you know, with nothing fake about it, no triggers or nonsense, just pure extreme thrash metal written and performed to the highest possible standard. And we will not, you know, where I think a lot of people are getting lazy and compromising on that stuff in some way or another, we want to become more uncompromising and vicious instead.
That sounds like it. It sounds like it. And with this new record, going over the first couple singles as well, songs like Remain Violent and Silhouettes, you got something going on lyrically. Are you looking, was that kind of intentional, or were you kind of looking around the world around you and saying, oh, I need to say something about this?
I mean, my thought process went like this at a certain point in my career, because when I started, it's very like battle action movie type rhymes, and that's like a common thing. But of course, I was 19 when I started, right? So but I've kind of, of course, by being serious about what I'm doing, I'm forced to therefore think and like about myself critically and try to develop myself. So what I come up with is, well, why am I playing this angry music? Why does it appeal to me to like scream at everything really loud with wailing guitar solos and deafening drums and all of that? And I do think, yeah, in the world, there's a number of things which are either frightening or disheartening or just make you really angry if you're a decent human being. And metal is actually a really good thing in a lot of people's lives, because it can give you an actual outlet for that kind of stuff which you may feel, whether it's you know, day to day just having to like grind away to earn a living, you know, which we have in a couple songs of ours, or you know, like the police violence is the subject to Remain Violent. The picture that's on the shirt and in the booklet is actually just a literal picture from Ferguson, Missouri. You know, and it's like, we didn't have to do shit to that. It's like already scary looking. That's a thing too. I was just thinking, well, the band's already like war themed and stuff, and that's a real thing, like it or not. You know, that's not fantasy. That's not just something, oh, people write about that in the scene. No, that's a thing that actually happens. And I actually study a fair amount of history, specifically a lot about the world wars and like the French Revolution, Napoleon Bonaparte, and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, some of the scale of it's baffling. And then to think that world populations are so much bigger now, and what would that logically entail? And stuff like that. That's kind of the inspiration for Silhouettes, is just like, well, in 1945, the atomic bomb was this. You know, the shadows were burnt into the wall. But, you know,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's a real thing. So the concept in that song is like, three quarters of it is told all is from future tense, and it's like, you know, judgment day has already happened kind of thing, and all that's left of pretty much anyone is either people living underground like rats or just ghosts burned into the wall, and they look back at the people today who could have, you know, who pretty much like saw this coming, could have avoided it, didn't, and they just and that's with a what have you done? It's like that. So it's sort of just supposed to say to the world today, I guess, hey, you know, we have weaponry that's so horrifying that you can't possibly believe it. Like, they stopped doing atomic testing after the early 60s, I think 63, when the Russians set off this thing, Tsar Obama, because the blast radius circled the Earth three times and was still measurable on the Richter scale, you know, and that was just like one bomb, and that was half the theoretical version that they designed. And they made that thing on a typewriter. So what do they have today? When people talk about shit like Area 51 and all these government cover-ups that people think are aliens, I personally believe a more likely cause of all this is just really scary weaponry that they don't want you to know. I mean, it's in the budget. If you look at the budget, it's going somewhere. A lot of it, the record from the past themes, like Woe to the Vanquished, which is set in ancient Rome, where that comes from, and you can look it up. It's a good story if you ever care to read it. Ve Victis is the original. Ve Victis, to be a little more correct, but the V sounds better in the song. I learned that after apparently Latin is a W for the V's. It's like a weird W-ish sounding thing. And
it's not just a metal thing. It's an actual thing.
No, but... Well, at any rate, the Woe to the Vanquished is set in ancient Rome, and that's supposed to say something about like our fundamental nature. And the song, but like Silhouettes, is how we're essentially doomed by it. Well, because this is our nature, and we've invented these things. You know, goodbye, everyone. You know, enjoy the time you have left.
It's scary.
It's morbid, but it's also it's a thing that people don't think about because. As much as I'd like to be an optimist, logic tells me that that's probably true. And people say, like, you're a crazy doomsayer if you say that. But look at things. We've had atomic bombs for only about 70 years. You have literally currently a president who's saying he's going to annihilate a country, like, you know, like Doug MacArthur wanted to do in the 50s. It's really terrifying stuff if you know anything about what that actually entails. You know, I'm not a expert on nuclear technology or weapons, but from what I know of like Cold War era stuff and then what I know of the progression of technology in general since then, I'm terrified. And that's why this stuff goes into music and why it's this horrifying and brutal music. And it, in a weird way, it's the only way I can like deal with knowing this stuff is to just be like, how about it?
Right. Yeah. So do you kind of almost like as an artist, you feel somewhat, I don't want to say obligated, but it's like maybe as artists, like we should be talking about this?
I think, I don't know if it's necessarily an obligation. I feel compelled to individually.
That's the word. Yeah.
I think that also I believe that you're going to make better art if it's about something real that actually expresses something of value. I don't think a song about like rhyming brand names is going to be as good as like a song with that manages to make that synergy between the way the music makes you feel and the way and the poetry of the words, which goes with that, to strengthen each other. Just I like songs with a sense of setting and a story to them. And for our sense, it's supposed to be this brutal and horrifying stuff. You know, why not make it real? That makes it way scarier. You know, even the history lyrics, like Shellfire or something. Yeah, that's literal stuff. I'm not making anything up there. That makes it so much more fucking terrifying than if I'm doing some like satanic posturing or whatever, which is all that's left of that anyway. And that's a reason I haven't really used any of that imagery since our first album, because I do like the idea of writing predominantly about real things. There's an exception or two, like Spectral Asylum is just dark fantasy kind of stuff, but it's supposed to be unnerving in a sense. So not everything I write is to that effect, and sometimes I just try to make lyrics that fit with the riffs I hear from my bandmates. Divinity of Flesh gets pretty philosophical in a sort of like, I guess my personal philosophy would be similar to like Carl Sagan's or someone's, you know, and scientific humanitarianism. I think there's a kind of a cool, if you get into that, a certain like positive angle to it, there's actually a sort of spiritual element to that thinking, which is interesting. Yes. So there's, you know, listen to the song if you're interested. And When the Guns Fell Silent is just an 11-minute epic, and it's about the end of the First World War, which is like a really crazy moment, which is precisely at November the 11th at 11 a.m. So it's a literal event because World War I's an artillery war. And so you have this endless cannon fire in this same area for 4 years straight, pretty much. And then it all stops at a certain second. And it's literally up until that second. And the song is exactly 11 minutes, 11 seconds. So we got to do a cool little like conceptual tie in there. And I really love the way it came out. It was kind of, we're going for something between the realms of like the epic era of Bathory songs with like the big songs and Justice for All with like Iron Maiden when they do their big songs, you know, somewhere between all those things. And I think bits of all of it came in, and I think we made one of the coolest songs and most unique songs we've ever done.
No. You've been, oh geez, Warbringer has been a thing now for about 10 years, ballpark. Okay, but you're still relatively young.
30. Right. I'm so, 30, and yeah. It's the average age in the band. Carlos is actually pretty young. He's like 25, 26.
Okay. But you've been at it for a while, for longer than some people might think. How do you see yourself? Do you kind of see yourself as still that young gun that you were 10 years ago?
Compared to some people, yeah.
Or are you kind of like, I'm kind of fitting into that rock and roll veteran mode now? Like, where do you see yourself?
Well, we are veterans of touring for sure, and we can play a show like that. We are still not super established as a band in some ways, though, and you know, so because metal's in a weird place where it's there's been very, very few new bands to like break through past a certain mid-level, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest reasons for that is because the exact same bands which existed 30 years ago are all still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that's very much a double-edged sword, because on one hand, you know, to those which still do a good job of it, which there are, I think there's also some that aren't, and I'm not going to go any further, but I try to push myself really hard to give myself whiplash every night and never compromise and never bitch out on the high screams or do any of that, even if I'm 18 shows in. I try to really push myself to do it the way that I always felt it should be done. And a lot of times when I like go to see new records or concerts or something, I don't get that anymore. And I don't know if that's me being a picky, stubborn bastard or if there's something to it. But all I know is that with my own band, I try to really just give 100% at all times. And it's a really difficult thing. So I spend a lot of my day just essentially standing around stretching and warming up and drinking tea and like 10 bottles of water so I can do it again. That's like all I really do on tour now. And but I'm happy because I just think where we are, we need to... The way that we can set ourselves apart is to just push ourselves to that highest standard and be a band that you know, we've played 1,300 shows in our career.
Wow.
And it shows now, and we try to still improve from then on, and it shows in the show. We have a really tight band, and we play really fast and extreme, and the headbang the entire time, and I couldn't be prouder. So I guess I see myself as a veteran of sorts, but still with a long way to go. And if you ever, I tell myself that if I ever lose that, if I ever forget to be critical of myself and to push and make sure it hurts every time, you know, then I should get the fuck off stage, more or less. That's what I say. So that's kind of my challenge to myself that keeps me going. And I want to apply that to the writing and just the whole philosophy of the band, because, I don't know, it's my, you know, it's our art, and we want to do the absolute best we can with it. And people who are into metal that want this kind of music, they really respond to it. And it's really rewarding to see that, and just to see people get really fucking excited, mosh around, cheer and everything. And yeah, that's what keeps me really, I guess, at this one hand striving to go as far as I can, the other hand to like always remember to like why I'm doing it and what keeps me there. When we lost the band and everything, a lot of it was a lot of fans wrote me and were just like, we love your band, keep going, please, you know, we'll support. And and they did, and it's a beautiful thing really that enough people gave a shit about songs that me and my friends wrote to give us this push to now be around for 10 years and to have 1,300 shows under our belt. And consequently, because we've had that support, we can do this on a level that we simply wouldn't have been able to without that much work and time into it. It's, if you do it for that long and you're trying to learn, you will, you know?
Right.
And it's, I started this band from the absolute ground up. I have no experience in music whatsoever before Warbringer, and I'd been doing it for like a year and a half when War Without End came out.
Ah.
So like ground zero, go, you know? And I've been doing it ever since. I don't even know anything else at this point.
So right now, Warbringer, featuring our tonight's creature feature, Mr. John Kevel, should be still out on the road supporting the mighty Dark Tranquility. By all means, please check your local listings. Go check them out live. Be sure to grab some merch. More importantly, grab the new record on your way out. And he's a very approachable guy. If you see him at the merch booths, go and say hi and tell him your Uncle Snowy sent you. I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Did you mention me at all, Snowy?
No, sorry.
God damn it. You should be like, yo, my co-host, Corinne.
Okay, I don't know who you know and what you don't.
I told you I know him. Yes, I told you. Yes, several times. God damn it, Snowy. Ooh.
Okay, just for you, Kareen, I'm so sorry. I forgot to mention you. From now on,
thank you.
Whenever someone comes through town, I'll be damn sure to say, hey, do you know Kareen from Orlando?
No, I only with the people I talk to. I told you should tell them I said hi, but you're a guy. You don't remember things, so, you know, whatever.
What?
Chicken butt.
Oh.
Something I wanted to run by you guys before we get on out of here. I guess you would call it the preliminary nominees for this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A list has kind of been out and it's circulating and all that. I don't think it's the final list, so everything that we're saying here might be totally irrelevant when all is said and done. But I found some of the names that are relevant to this show I thought were quite interesting and would probably something that we should kind of give our two cents about it when you really think about it. Like I said, this isn't the final list and these aren't the only nominees. Like, there's a whole whack of other stuff on here that we really don't care about. Go Google whatever if you want to see the whole list. But relevant to us, hopefully, and these artists will make the final cut, are Judas Priest, Bon Jovi, Rage Against the Machine, and MC5.
I'm busting your balls right now. Last week, you wouldn't give a dedication to Hugh Hefner, but you're going to call Bon Jovi fucking metal?
I just said relevant. And if Bon Jovi...
Damn!
Dude!
You know what?
Dude!
Who is the majority of the people buying Bon Jovi records pre-Slippery When Wet?
Women.
Yeah, they were all metalheads. I think Bon Jovi.
No, they wanted John's pants.
John Bon Jovi, the whole band, is more relevant, you know, to the metal world than old Hef ever will. Kareen, go back and listen to last week's episode. Oh my god.
Oh,
and Aaron still isn't gonna let it go.
Because I was about to like make a joke, be like, "Oh, Bon Jovi," and then you actually called out Bon. I never in my life would I have called that you'd be like, "Oh, Bon Jovi is relevant to this show." Like, I mean, I'll be there for you, but really, you know.
So. Let's face it, Bon Jovi has not released a relevant album in 15 years.
To our listeners, rockhall.com/vote. You can see everybody that's out there. And I mean,
there we go.
Even the ones that we're not talking about, this is the best group of nominees I've seen in a while.
Oh, okay.
Like, for the first list, I looked through it and I'm like, yeah, I agree with almost everybody on this list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's right. I mean, hell, man. Where I'm looking for him right now. Link Ray made the list. Like he was like early rockabilly stuff. Like he influenced Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh yeah, this is shit that makes sense. The MC5 influenced most of the stuff that, you know, we listen to now. You know, almost, I mean, especially Snowy, all your rock and hardcore, most of those guys were influenced by the MC5. Mm-hmm. I mean, this great list of nominees this year.
It is. It is. And that was actually, I'm glad you mentioned MC5 specifically, because I that's one of the things I wanted everyone's reaction on. Like, name one other MC5 song off the top of my head. I can't.
Oh yeah, I couldn't name anything. Kick Out the Jams is the famous
exactly.
one, right?
And that one song is that song for one song, I should say, is that worthy to be put into the Hall of Fame? I think maybe they should be.
But here's the thing, though. That one song is what the normies know. You know, like that. That's like the mainstream. Like for the bands that were influenced by the MC5. Like you ask Henry Rollins, say, "Hey, man, what are your top five MC5 songs?" He'd be like, "Top five? Fuck! Here's my top 100." You know, he's gonna school you on the MC5. I mean, like Rollins put out a record by Wayne Kramer, who's the guitarist in the MC5, somewhere in the 90s. And Wayne Kramer played on one of the Rollins band's records. I want to say it was the Nice record. And it did some just killer fucking guitar tracks and solos and stuff. And just the album that Rollins put out for him, man, great record, you know? So I am excited to see those guys on this list. And like I said, just there are so many bands on here that I'm like, yeah, I agree with all these guys. This is one of the best groups and nominees I've seen in a while.
Do any of you think that Judas Priest, of course, they totally deserve it. You know, how many millions of albums, sold out tours, like they're a household name. Even just Joe and Jane Average know the name Judas Priest. Do you think they will ever get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though?
They've probably been nominated, because you do know that once you are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you get to help pick who gets nominated the following years. So the fact that a lot of their contemporaries are now in the Hall of Fame, I think they have a really good chance. If not this year, maybe next year. But yeah, they eventually will be. Yes, I think so.
You figure?
I could see them going this year. I mean, you know, Hellbent for Leather, they're going to go.
How many artists and bands do they induct every year? That's something I've never. Is it five? I don't know.
So when you vote, you can only select up to five on this website, but I honestly don't remember.
I think it's like five that they induct.
Let me look up the 2016.
While you do that, that's
personally, I don't know if there is enough, because like everyone who's known me for more than 10 minutes, like I honestly believe there is that prejudice against metal and all that. And there's probably enough people in the industry and all that, that just would never vote in a tried and true metal band, a Kiss, a Guns N' Roses, something like that, a Bon Jovi. Yeah, I can see that, but Dio, is Sabbath in?
Yeah, I think Sabbath is in.
Yeah, Sabbath is
okay.
In.
Okay. Well, I think maybe they got in because they were the first, okay, like the first metal band. But I don't know. I don't see Priest, Maiden, and all that just from the prejudice. I don't see it unless like you said, there's a trickle down effect of their contemporaries voting, and I don't know exactly what that makes. So.
I guess not, if it's not this year, they eventually will be in there. Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope so. They definitely deserve it. They definitely deserve it. More so than probably at least half of the people that are already in.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of accomplishments.
To me, they were, you know, everybody says Black Sabbath and Zeppelin were the first metal bands. But, I mean, really, the metal as we know it now, I mean, it's largely because of Judas Priest.
I think so, too. Yeah.
You know, they really refined the sound and, you know, what they did in the early 80s. Because even in the late 70s, you listen to old Priest from late 70s, it's more like rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they really refined it in the early 80s with, you know, Breaking the Law and all that stuff. And just for that, just not inventing metal, but just making it what it is today, I think they...
Being a game changer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's for the discerning music fans like us.
Yeah, yeah.
But just everyone else, I don't know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, okay, it was Sabbath, Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix. They kind of laid the foundation, and then along, you know, years later, Priest, Maiden, you know, those bands kind of came along. But I noticed just growing up, Hendrix, Zeppelin, Priest, Maiden, they all had the same fans, mm-hmm. and all that. They were all kind of the same. Like, and that's how I know what you're saying about how they're different, but to me, in a lot of ways, they're the same. And like every band that we're talking about in this conversation should eventually make their way in, including Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, they're going in first ballot.
You know. Aaron, what is it you're doing? You were doing.
Well, I'm checking out the. So it's either five or six. Because looking at the past couple of years, sometimes it's five bands, sometimes it's six.
Okay.
So we can count on five for sure. But then, I mean, so Metallica's in the Rock Hall, right?
Yeah.
Sabbath went in 2006. Metallica went in 2009. I'm checking out, like, the year that Kiss went in, I was so pissed off because Kiss should have gone in the first damn time they were nominated.
Mm-hmm.
But Nirvana goes in the first time they're nominated. That's what kind of turned my back on the Rock.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, you there's that.
And that's why Rage Against the Machine is going in the first try.
Yeah, but Rage I'm okay with, man, because the thing is, I would not be surprised if Rage doesn't go because they're politics. Because of the fact that, like, Rage is one of the few, like, I mean, like, Nirvana had, like, that bad boy image or whatever, but everybody just fucking loved them, you know? I mean, they're like, the cute, cuddly, you know, like, the bad boy kind of thing.
Smelly.
You know? But, I mean, like, Rage Against the Machine is really, like, no, fuck your system, fuck your politics, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
And, yeah, oh, for sure. That's why I love that band. And they did it on a major label. Now, I think Rage Against the Machine, they got a bad rap by a lot of fans saying, well, you guys are all fuck the system and all that, but you guys are on a major label. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What Rage Against the Machine did, though, is they walked into their boss's office, okay? Metaphorically, walked into their boss's office, sat down, put their feet up on his desk and said, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that. That's absolutely
first
amazing.
Rage record is just amazing.
Mm-hmm,
start
mm-hmm.
to finish, everything on it, every freaking note. And I mean, like, I'm one of the few people that actually likes Evil Empire.
Me too.
The Battle of Los Angeles. Like, there's so many killer tracks on that one. I can never remember the name of the song, but one of the songs I always go back and listen to because they have this killer line in there where they're talking about something. Like, oh shit, I got a head rush. Just man, just, like I love the shit that they do, man. And the thing is, Tom Morello is such an underrated fucking player.
Amazing.
I would say he's underrated.
He's so underrated.
Like,
because
he can shred
like Yngwie, and that's all right. He can shred like fucking Yngwie. He is a schooled shredder, and mm-hmm. but this what he does sonically, he pushes it beyond that. You know,
I never heard some of that stuff he does.
Shit.
I never heard that before. Yeah.
Yeah. So he cut his teeth back in the '80s playing like a lot of bar bands. And like, he was in a hair metal shredder kind of band. And the one book I have, and I can't remember who put it out, but man, he had a rough time, you know, in the '80s, because, you know, being African-American, you know, or at least half, and this just blew my mind when I was reading this shit, but like, you know, he's touring like the late '80s. They'd make him sit outside some of the bars until it was time for the band to go on.
Wow.
Oh.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me still? Really? Mm. He's in the band. Like, and he's fucking killer. You know,
it might get even uglier now these days. So who knows?
Yeah. People are fucking dumb. But yeah, I'm all about this lineup.
It's
a lot of great, I mean, hell. You know what? Even LL Cool J. Like, I dig LL Cool J. Like, I'd like to see him get it. Radiohead, fucking Radiohead's great. Sister Rosetta Tharpe, that's the one that really got me because she's been there. There's been a lot of videos surfacing in a lot of the like the guitar forums and stuff that I'm in. And people are like, look at this woman just wail. And she's just, you know, just tearing it up on an SG back at somewhere. I think back in the 60s. I might be wrong. But the fact that she's up for a nomination, I'm like, oh, she is awesome. You know, so yeah, I am thrilled with this list.
Well, if she's really good, you know, she's not getting in. before we wrap this up, before we get on out of here, I will say, you guys definitely know, okay, like when I'm at work, I do a lot of singing, and trust me, more than once I've gone about my business going, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. I got no compunctions about doing that. But we got to get on out of here. Sorry.
We can't wrap up yet.
Uh-oh.
Because this is October. What movies have you watched so far?
Oh,
I
see,
saw
that's
the new
just
movie,
Right on.
And you said it sucked.
Yeah, it did. I didn't like it. I was expecting more.
I'm going to reserve my opinion on that because I didn't even see the first adaptation. So, like, I don't know. I have absolutely no opinion about that. Yeah, I kind of forgot to mention it on the top, so I was just kind of blow it off and wait until next week. But yeah, we're about a week in as we speak to my horror film for the month of October, my horror film watching challenge, where I'm trying to watch 31 movies in the month of October leading up to Halloween. And there's a lot of cool concerts and a lot of shows, and I'm going to be doing a lot of other stuff that's going to take me away from the TV. So it's going to be kind of tough, but so far so good. As we speak, I've got 7 films in, and I'm so far so good. Some, the first 2 Friday the 13th, I really dug that. I gave those another watch. Check out the movie The Burning. It's a slasher inspired by Friday the 13th, where you see a very young Jason Alexander and Holly Hunter in it. It's funny. I've watched the Night of the Living Dead remake from 1990 and the movie Squirm with the massive amount of worms running amok in a small Kentucky town. Or whatever and all that. That's an absolute classic that I never got to until then. Kareen, I remember you saying that you wanted to get in on this with me. Are you still up for it? We're already a week in.
Yeah. How many movies have you watched?
I'm at 7.
You're at 7? Okay, I need to get on the ball.
Well, you're a busy girl. I wasn't going to bug you about it. Wasn't going to bug you about it. It's a lot harder than you might think, especially if you have lice, which you more than do. So I haven't gone on Facebook. I haven't posted any of this stuff. I was waiting for the first week. But, yeah, it's something that I'm going to be doing very soon. So it will already be done by the time you guys hear this. Today, as we speak, I want to get out with this song. Rain in Blood turns 31 years
old
today. Wow. Yeah, you want to feel old? Oh, my God. I still remember the first day buying it. So I want to go out on Monstrosity's rendition of Angel of Death.
That's a good one.
Fucking right. I knew you'd like that.
That's
dude.
For those who don't know, Monstrosity, it's a Corpse Grinders other band.
Yeah, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, nice. Corpse. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I knew you'd dig that. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a horrifying episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Kareen.
And this is Aaron. Mischief Managed.
Signing off.
At radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.